Merry Christmas, Graham. Let's grab our Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Well, congratulations. You have almost made it through this wild and crazy year. And I think if you're like me, you'd have to say that if you ever needed Christmas to arrive, it was this year. And we're ready for it. And it's about time. We need someone to come who will fulfill our hopes and keep all of his promises, and we need someone who will rescue us and give us a better future. There are some 400 prophecies in the Old Testament of Messiah, and I don't think any of them are more well-known, more famous than this one. We have been looking at the four descriptions of the promised Messiah here. And this morning we're on number three, the third one, Everlasting Father. We're looking at the Christmas child that was promised in Isaiah 7:14, described in Isaiah 9:6 and 7, God incarnate. And we're asking, who is he? Who is this child? What implications do this have for me? Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is God's inspired and incredible and perfect and Christmas-fulfilling word. So we've learned that Wonderful Counselor means we have a Messiah who has a plan, a supernatural plan that is perfect, and his plan involves me. Mighty God means he has the power to fulfill his plan. It doesn't help if we have a God who has a plan who doesn't have the power, and it doesn't help if we have a God who has power, but he doesn't have a plan. We have both. He is a warrior king, the great champion. He is our hero who rescues us. Everlasting Father speaks of Messiah's relationship to us. It's a term describing his relationship with me. A Christian has an eternal relationship with God the Son, who is our warrior king. Did you know how long the average marriage lasts in the United States of America? Average marriage, 8.2 years. That's how long that relationship lasts, and then it's gone. Parents, if you stick it out, parents, if you are forbearing and patient, you will have a relationship at home with your children for what, 18 years, 20 years, 25 years, in my case, 28 years and counting. But then they're gone. It seems like it forever, and it's hard to imagine it ever being over, but then one moment it is, and they're independent, and you're alone again. My relationship with my own mom and dad has lasted some 62 years, and in that 62 years, it changed an awful lot. I don't know if I could describe it as an eternal relationship, because it's always a transforming, changing relationship. This promise says that I have a relationship with my everlasting spiritual father, Jesus, that lasts forever and is sustained by his miraculous plan and his mighty power. So I need to point out a couple of things that this name, Everlasting Father, is not. Two things it's not. First, it's not a reference to the first person of the Trinity. This is not, Everlasting Father is not describing God the Father. This is identifying the Son, this child who's going to be born, Jesus Christ. So Father, when we say Jesus is our Father, it's an indication of his paternal care for those who are his own. He acts as a parent, as a father toward his children, to those who are faith. Not everyone on planet Earth is a child of Jesus. Those who are of faith, those who have been born again into a new family are his children, and he is their everlasting father. So it's not a reference to the first person of the Trinity, it's speaking of Jesus, and it's not referring to the eternal nature of the Messiah's being, his eternality. That's not what Isaiah is arguing here. He's not arguing for his aseity, his eternal self-existence, not directly. There are plenty of places in the Bible that teach this, but this isn't why here he's called Eternal Father. This isn't intentionally arguing his timelessness, because the Hebrew phrase translated Everlasting Father could, some people say, well, this should be translated Father of Eternity. He is the Father of everything. He's the architect of the ages. He's the one who made everything. Everything comes from him. He's the Father of the universe. Well, this is true. That's true. But that's not Isaiah's emphasis. That's not what he's arguing here. The Hebrew construction of this phrase, everlasting Father, Father is the primary noun. And everlasting or eternal is a term, is an adjective that describes his fatherhood. So everlasting, the primary word is father. Everlasting describes what kind of father he is. It's describing his character, the never-ending nature of his care. He is father forever. Father forever. So if you really want to understand what Isaiah is promising us and who this child is going to be, maybe that's a way to think of it. It's an adjective describing his paternal, fatherly care. He's always there for his own. He is my father forever. So we sing of this from time to time. Some of our gray hairs love that old song, Day by Day. And you perhaps remember in the second verse, there's some words that go like this. He whose name is Counselor and Power, that's not coincidental, Mighty God. And so Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. That is our Father forever. So what would it be like to have a wise, all-powerful, omniscient, all-caring Father? Well, I think we find here three encouragements that we need at Christmas and why we need a Father forever. He's the Father you never had. He's the Father you'll never lose. And he's the Father your soul needs. First, he's the Father you never had. He's the Father you never had. I really think there are a few words in our English language that evoke the kind of feelings, the kind of emotions and memories and senses inside than that word Father. Some of us this Christmas season are going to feel a sense of loss. There's a seat missing at the table. There's something that's just not right about this Christmas because we had fathers who were great. We loved our fathers, but they're no longer with us. Or because we have unfulfilled feelings for the kind of father we never had. We wanted to have a great father, but that just wasn't our circumstance growing up. Sadly, this word father doesn't always evoke for us, bring to mind someone who shepherded us, affirms us, and stayed close. Instead, for many of us, father becomes an adjective of someone who was distant or aloof, passive, absent, unreliable, selfish, uncaring, cruel. Even among Christian families, even among church-going families like ours, far too many children have gone through emotional indifference and self-centered neglect from their dads. And so if that's your circumstance, Jesus says your Father may be hard to relate to. This may be a description that it takes you a little while to really grasp because that hasn't been your personal experience. Or it may be that you're here this morning and you've had a great dad. I mean, you love your dad, and you know, your dad's a 10 on the parenting scale, and you really think he's great. You have and some of you in this room are fantastic fathers. I've seen you in action, and I love your parenting and your commitment to your kids. You're really good with your children, but you're not perfect. Are you? You've failed them time and time again. You worked too late. You got harsh too quickly. You failed to love their mom enough, and you weren't quick enough with your praise, and you were too critical. And 1950s TV show, you have to really have been around a long time to remember Father Knows Best. I don't even remember this one, but I've seen reruns. Father Knows Best had the idyllic, perfect father, Jim Anderson. And the show became very popular because here was the perfect family with the perfect dad. The actor, Robert Young, we found out later, was a depressed alcoholic with mental illness. So what is portrayed on screen isn't necessarily real life. Your relationship with your dad can be one of the most shaping influences in our lives. In our culture today, fathers have it really tough, and we're being told you're not important and you're not crucial and we don't need to have a dad in the home and everything's okay. But the reality in Scripture and in life is that fathers are crucial in the way their kids grow up. Isaiah 9:6 says, Jesus Christ is your perfect father. Everything you've ever dreamed of a father being, he is. Everything you've ever craved from a relationship from your earthly father, Jesus Christ will be for you. Your Messiah will forever be perfectly father-like in the way that he shepherds, the way that he leads you. In Jesus, you have a perfect father forever. Jesus, your everlasting father, came down at Christmas into a broken and sinful world to fill our hearts with heaven's love and to teach us to love one another. He came to make sons and daughters out of his enemies, and this is a father's gift to us at Christmas. He's the father that you never had. Jesus is the father who loves you, Christian, with perfect paternal love. He's proud of you. He's totally proud of you. And if you grew up with a never satisfied dad, a dad that you could never quite reach the top and you could never make them happy, and you might think that this is the kind of father that Jesus is, that I'm always striving and always working and always trying to please him, and he's never, never quite there. He's never quite happy with me. I can't live up to his expectations because I'm always a disappointment. Every day I'm doing something that makes me a disappointment to him. And maybe you're thinking, you know, Jesus would be happy with me if I were better. And he would love me if I were more gifted. He would think better of me if I were just a better wife, and if I could use my gifts in a better way. I want you to know Jesus is crazy about you, Christian. He's crazy about you. Isaiah 43:4. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. And that word precious means valuable, weighty, worth more than anything else. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget. It would be easier for a mom to forget her nursing baby than God says, than for me to forget you. He delights in you that much. He really does. It doesn't matter that you failed at parenting or that you've yielded to temptation or that you can't seem to get your act together. Jesus Christ loves you like family. Unconditional, proud, shameless love. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God will rejoice over you with gladness. He will exult over you with loud singing. Because he's a father that's stable and secure. Some of you grew up with a time bomb dad. You never knew what would set him off. Substance abuse, emotional instability. Your heavenly father isn't like that at all. Psalm 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He doesn't anger quickly. He's got it under control. He deliberately acts for our best. Think of this example. The prodigal son's dad. Remember the prodigal son runs off, spends his share of the inheritance on wine, women, and song, and everything. He's gone. Finally, he comes back home with his tail between his legs, expecting that his father is going to put him to work as a slave. And where's dad? Standing at the door, waiting for him. And when he sees him in the distance, he runs for him to welcome him back. Your father forever loves you. And he shows it. He shows it. And some of you grew up with an emotionally distant dad. No visible expression of love. You never got a hug. You would give anything if he would just one time say, I love you. And if you grew up in the 50s or 60s or 70s, this was very common. This was the parenting style that was kind of expected of Americans. Always working, always busy, always providing, never coming to your games, never really caring for you that much. Your Heavenly Father, Jesus, is so very, very different than that. He delights to express his love and devotion to you. He's emotionally engaged with you as his child. John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. He's your Father forever. Father love. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. And so he's there for you. He's there for you. He's on your side. He is for you. He is your number one fan. He is growing you up to display his glory, and he's got a plan for you because he's there for you, and you can cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. And all that means that if you've had a heavenly father who has wounded you or neglected you or hurt you, don't judge Jesus, your Father, forever by that. He's the Father you've been searching for. And he can heal you from any wounds that you have. And if you've got a really great dad, and many of you do, I happen to know, if you've got a really exceptional father, think about this. Jesus is infinitely better. He's perfect. He's more faithful, he's more caring, he's more conscientious, he's more involved. Isaiah 9:6 promises that Jesus is the Father that you never have. He's perfect. Second, he's a Father you'll never lose. He's the Father you never lose. So that word everlasting, everlasting Father, the word everlasting simply means eternal. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. In perpetuity, without end. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. There is no unfathering Christ. And there is no unchilding us. He is everlastingly a father to those who trust in him. Did you hear verse 7? Isaiah 9:7 of the increase of his government and of peace. There will be no end. His relationship with you is without end. It's forever. His paternal care is eternal, and it's forever. Isaiah 63:16. For you are our Father, though Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not acknowledge us. So Abraham and Jacob, Israel, Jacob, the fathers of the nation, They're dead. They're dead. You, O Lord, are our Father, our living Father, our eternal Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name. So, Everlasting Father describes the character of his relationship for you and the way that he cares for you, the kind of father he is. He's not a short-term dad. He's an eternal, everlasting Father. He's a Father who never dies, who never quits. Some of you have lost your dads. Think of the people of Judah to whom Isaiah is writing. They're in Jerusalem, King Ahaz, and the people of the city, and they're surrounded by this army out there that's threatening to come in and sack the city. Think of those people in that Isaiah is writing to. Life expectancy in those ancient times was roughly one half of ours. I'm tempted to have everybody who's over 35 raise your hands and say, you're dead. That would change the complexion of this room, wouldn't it? That's life expectancy. How many kids grew up to adulthood and have living fathers? I suggest that it was probably the minority, not that many of them. But Jesus Christ is a father who is forever. Fathering is temporary as a parent. You don't have your dads forever because things intervene. Life and circumstances and moves across the country and events of life intervene. My own dad just celebrated his 89th birthday, and by the grace of God, I still got a dad, and I still see him every single day because I'm over there parenting him. And because the circumstances of life have intervened, my relationship with him has turned radically on his head. And that's hard. And yet, it's just the way that life is. That's not the way it is in my relationship with my father forever. He is always there for me. He is always on my side. So there are huge implications because Jesus is your everlasting Father. Let me give you a few. He protects and provides for you because he's the Father you never lose. And his role as protector and provider will not be limited by aging or by death. His role as a father continues in perpetuity, forever, because he's our wonderful counselor. He has a wise and perfect plan for his children. Because he's mighty God, he is able to carry out what his plan determines for us to do. And because he's our everlasting Father, he lovingly, compassionately keeps and protects. Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. King Ahaz needed to hear this from God. He's looking at all these other solutions, all these other remedies to his problems. He's thinking, taking matters into his own hands. He needed to hear that God was going to provide for him and protect him and take care of him. And some of you need to hear that too. Because he's a father you never lose, he always keeps his promises. He's a father whose promises to you will never fail because he never dies. He never gets old and feeble. He doesn't change. He is the one constant in your life from the cradle to the grave that you can count on. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, Hebrews 13:4. Isaiah 54, verse 8, in overflowing anger for a moment I hid my face from you. But with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love will not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. He will never renege on his promises to you. Ever, 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 because he's your Father forever. And because he is your Father forever, he gives an everlasting salvation. His salvation is eternal. He gives everlasting life. You see the tie between Isaiah 9:6 and John 3:16? The life I have in Christ is forever. Isaiah 45:17. Israel is saved by the Lord with everlasting salvation. You shall not be put to shame or confounded to all eternity. Parents, a little parenting advice. You should want your children to know in their hearts, in their heart of hearts, that no matter what, you will always love them, and they will always be your children. Father forever means I am secure because I have a relationship with my Father forever. I am secure with him, and I am secure in that relationship. And because he is my Father forever, he will never, ever, ever, ever leave you. He's always there for you. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. For some of you, you had a totally absent father. Do you realize that 40% of American children don't have their father at home? 40%. Some places and some communities in our country, that number is far higher. A lot of us grew up without a dad at all, or with a nagging suspicion that our dad was going to leave, and all it would take is somebody pulling the trigger, and they would be out of here. Hear this promise, Psalm 139. Wherever you go, heaven or the grave, God is there. You can't run away from him. He won't die on you. He won't abandon you. Why? Because he made you. He knitted me together in my mother's womb. My entire life is an open book to him. Hebrews 13:5. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Joshua 1:5 says the same thing. Word study time. Word study time. What does that word never mean? In the original language, what does that word never? He will never leave you, never forsake you. What's that word never mean? That word never means never, ever, ever. He just won't leave you. He won't abandon you, ever. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. That's why we sing that song, because it's so true. It's not our experience in this life. But it is with my relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the Father you'll never lose. And number three, he's the Father your soul needs. Take your Bible. I want you to look up Psalm 103. I want to spend just a moment here in Psalm 103 because I think this psalm so beautifully illustrates what it means that Jesus is our Father forever. This psalm is as beautiful and clear a description you'll see anywhere in the Bible of what it means that Messiah is our everlasting Father. I wish I could read the whole psalm, but I'm going to jump down to verse 11. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. When my kids were small, we used to play this game. And maybe you've played it. How much do I love you? This much? This much? No, this much! More than you can reach, that's how much I love you. And that's what God is saying about his relationship with you. He loves you that much. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. He looks at me and he sees, Christian, and he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our Father forgives us completely. He wipes it away. Verse 3 says, he forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He loves you that much. He forgives you completely. Verse 10, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. And with our earthly fathers, we're often thinking, can I live up to their expectations? And can I ever satisfy them? And can I ever get total, complete, real forgiveness? And God says, I love you that much that all of your sin is taken away. The reality is, God can't just overlook sin. Santa Claus does, but God doesn't. No, it cost the Son his life. He can't just look down and condone our sin and say, that's all right. No, he's just, though. Something has to pay for those sins. He has to cover them. He pays for them. And that's how much he loves you. And that's what your Father forever has done to save you. Verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. The one who is your father forever feels compassion in his heart toward his children. I love the old King James here. He shows pity. He shows pity in his heart toward his children. Here's a description of the quality of Messiah. How does he treat us? Jesus Christ has a deep, rich, lasting, emotional, parental love for you. And this highlights the warmth, the emotion of the way he loves you. Every father, have you ever noticed that fathers can, you know, if a father is a coach and he's got the little league team in front of him and he can try to be objective and look at all 11 kids and pick out who's going to start and who's going to sit on the bench. But the reality is that you can't possibly view your kid in exactly the same way you do every other kid, because there's something unique about your child. You cannot see someone else's child the way that you see your own. There's something about that relationship that cannot be duplicated anywhere else. This is my child, and I have set my heart on her. I love him that much. As a father shows compassion to his children, he feels for them. He cares for me. He's forgiven me. And that's the way the love of your forever father is defined, this intimacy. You say, well, he must not know me very well. If he just looks at me like that and loves me that much, he must not know me. Oh, he knows everything about you. Verse 14, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows that we have a very, very short shelf life. My wife doesn't drive, so I have to take her to the grocery store, and she's always so annoying because I just grab the first salad on the shelf, and she says, no, wait a minute, check the expiration date. Every week, same routine, check the expiration date. Oh, I got to get out my reading glasses, and, you know, I've got an expiration date, and so do you. He knows everything about me. He knows me inside and out, and he keeps in mind that I'm made of mud. I'm dirt. I'm dust. I'm clay. Here one moment, gone the next. Verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. We won't live very long, do we? And that simply means that human love, human relationships are temporary. They're fleeting. It doesn't matter how strong your love is. You can love your wife with the deepest, most rich, most full, most intimate love, and it's gone. Whew. The wind blows, and you're gone. Does your worldview have the answer to these questions? Who am I? Where did that come from? Where am I going? Father forever addresses the question of identity. Who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And when you read that in Scripture, you realize that I'm not just a number. I'm not just a statistic. How many times this last week has somebody asked you, please give me the last four digits of your social? You know, and I've been graduated from Michigan State for 36 years. No, 40 years. 40 years ago this year, I graduated. Who am I at Michigan State? 750-616. Thank you. Nobody wants my name. Just 750-616. But my Father forever says, I'm not just a set of random molecules accidentally brought together, a group of cells that will soon be gone. I have a Father who knows my name. Before time began, He knew me. I have value because of who my Father is. That's what makes me significant. That's what gives my life meaning. He's my Father forever. And you better know those things, because it won't be long. And then, whoosh, the story of my life is that I have a Father. I'm not just a gene carrier that will go out like a candle here and gone. No, I am precious to my Father, and I was created by God and for God, and that relationship with God was broken by sin, but God's Son came and He took my punishment so that I could be restored to my Father forever and receive forgiveness and redemption and freedom and life and a whole new family. To the world, I'm just a number, here then gone. But that's not the nature of Jesus' paternal love for you. He knows all about me and He loves me. He knows the thoughts of my mind, the dreams of my heart, the sins of my flesh. And He loves me. He loves me endlessly. Father forever. Verse 8 says, He abounds in love. He's rich in love. He overflows in it. And when you realize that I deserve is not what I deserve is not what I get. And I begin to grasp just how much He really loves me. Verse 17, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to His children's children. His love is forever and ever. Peterson says it like this: God's love is ever and always eternally present to all who fear Him, making everything right for them and for their children. The Apostle Paul puts it a little different. He prays that we may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You get this? The vastness of distances from east to west. You realize that the astronomers are now telling us there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on all the oceans of all the earth. That's how big the universe is. And God says, I want you to get it. High to low, right to left, east to west. That's how much I love you. It is deep, it is rich, it is full, and it is forever. That means for these people, Mr. King Ahaz and those Jews in the walled city of Jerusalem, Ahaz is acting an awful lot like you and I. He's got troubles outside the walls. He's got troubles outside of his home. God says, trust me. Just trust me. I got this. I'll take care of you. I am your Father forever. You know what what does King Ahaz do? He's looking for security in something else. He wants to do this thing himself. He wants to make an alliance with his moral and spiritual enemies. And God says, the one I am sending, this child, this Christmas child, is your Father forever. He has a plan for you. He's your wonderful counselor. He's so much wiser than any father that you've ever known. He has the power to affect his plan. He's the mighty God. He's your champion. He is so much stronger than any father you have ever known. And he is your father forever. He loves you. And he is there for you. And he will never fail you. And he will forgive you. And he is able to secure you and give you whatever you need, because he is your father forever. He's the father that your soul needs. How do I get it? How do I get this eternal relationship with a father from heaven? Well, rather than me tell you, why don't I let the Apostle Paul tell you the true Christmas story? Look at his language. I think he must have been reading Isaiah 9:6 when he wrote this. Galatians 4 and verse 4. This is the Apostle Paul taking Isaiah 9:6 and speaking to your heart. Look at his words. Look at his language. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Daddy, Father. Your forever father was born to redeem you so that you could become a child of God. Is he your wonderful counselor? Have you stepped into the plan of God for your life? Is he your mighty God? Are you relying on his power and his strength and his security? Is he your everlasting father, your father forever, the one whose love is eternal and secure, and you can rest on that? Stand with me and we'll pray together. My prayer, Father, is that you would open our eyes to see how deep and how long and how high and how wide is the love of Christ. That we would stop looking for security and answers and wisdom and power outside the walls and other things, but that we would rest on you, the one who loves us, the one who redeems us, the one who forgives us, the one who secures us in your love. In Christ's name, amen.